So if you could be here around 9, that would be great. Okay?
Well, listen here.
Hello, and welcome to Love After Lockup. Okay. I'm Miss H, and today Mr. O and I will be talking about Season 1, Episode 8 of Life After Lockup, where Brittany and Marcelino get a dog, Andrea commits several crimes against Lamar, Michael and Sarah go to therapy, Lacey and John make out in a client's house, and Josh and Cheryl break up. Again. All that and Students of the Week, Class Dunces, and Life Lessons. If you like what you hear, please give us a rating so other people can find us. And if you like 90 Day Fiancé, check out our other podcast, 90 Day MK, Teachable Moments with Miss H and Mr. O. Thanks and enjoy.
Hello, Miss H.
Hello, Mr. O.
How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. Yeah, how are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. Stuck with the weather. It got really good here, so I'm gonna put me in a good mood to talk about
yes.
this.
Yes, same here. Definitely. I was able to wear a tank top today.
Oh, ours isn't that good.
Yeah.
Tank top weather isn't until like June here.
Yeah. It's nice. It feels like spring. It's starting to feel like spring here.
Well, you're also a girl. Like, it has to be a lot warmer for me to justify a tank top than it is for a girl.
A tank top. It's for the best. It's for the best. Okay, so where do you want to start with this group?
Let's start with, let's get Clint and Tracy out of the way.
Oh, yeah. So, Clint says that they had sex, things were good, and now Tracy took the car and the dog and isn't answering her phone.
Right.
So, I was like, they have a dog?
Yeah, they have a dog. The dog was sitting on the bed with them last time we saw him.
I don't think I noticed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like a mutt of some sort.
So, now he's worried about the 5,000.
Yeah, I was confused about the way that scene started because it seemed like the producer just like busted in. I think the producer might have thought Clint was dead. Like the way he just like busted in the door.
Probably.
And was like, came in. I was like, what the hell is going on? I was like, who is this guy? And I was like, oh, that's a producer doing that. Like, this is weird.
But at the same time, I feel like Clint is likely high on something. And so production is probably like, well, if we don't go in there, then, you know, he's not going to know that we're trying to get a hold of him.
That's true.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. It just seems that, and it just comes out. And as we suspected last week, like he's worried about his $5,000 because, you know, she might skip court, but she does not want to go to rehab. She is not interested in rehab.
No, she absolutely does not.
Which is, I don't know. Yeah. You can't make somebody who's in addiction, like, see reason. That's just not the way addiction works. But yeah, because it's like, we know she doesn't want to go rehab, but we also talked last week about how much she hates prison. And at this point, it's like, it's going to be one of those two things.
Right. Yeah, she really does hate prison. So I don't know. I wonder if she would pick prison over rehab because I don't know, she's never really talked about rehab before, so I didn't realize she really, really didn't want to go. But I think maybe what it is the lack of freedom that she really doesn't like. And so to her, rehab and prison might be the same because it's like you're still restricted.
Right.
Still can't do drugs.
What's the point if you can't do drugs? I mean, that seems to be where she is in her life.
Point of being free.
Yeah. So they end up.
But she doesn't want to feel forced.
Right. But okay, somebody's going to force you to do something. It's like, like I said, it's not a reasonable mind frame she's in. She's not logically assessing the situation. She just knows what she feels and she feels like she wants to keep doing drugs. And so she's going to take the car and the dog and run away.
Oh, goodness. I mean, I was with Clint's mom. Like, it was a crapshoot if he was going to get that $5,000 back. But you remember, Clint said, oh, no, she'll show up because she loves me. And it's like, yeah, but... And didn't we just say this? Like, she can love you, but if there's drugs involved, like, you can't really predict what she's going to do.
No, you can't. She couldn't predict what she was going to do. It's not...
No.
That's not the way it works.
Yeah.
Oh... Poor folks.
Definitely not. Well, yeah, that didn't last long to get through them. Who do you want to talk about next?
Oh, it seemed like everybody was kind of, it's different because this show's only an hour long. Everybody seems a little bit shorter. Let's go to, this one, because this was interesting. Brittany and Marcelino, because that one ended interestingly.
Yeah. So Gio wanted to surprise Marcelino. He's like, Marcelino, we have a surprise for you. And it ends up being a puppy. And Marcelino just rolls his eyes. He was just like, no, what are you people doing? And then Brittany's like, no, it's good for us. And Marceline's like, we don't have the money to raise a puppy. And Brittany's like, oh, it's not a big deal. Like, he's not expensive. And then that's where I'm kind of like, oh, my gosh. I'm sorry. If you do it right, animals are expensive.
Yeah.
You know, if you take them to the vet, you are, you know, not just leaving them in your yard all the time. Mm-hmm. Like, they're expensive.
The food itself alone is kind of expensive.
Yeah.
Let alone the vet bills and stuff. It's just, it's a terrible thing to surprise someone with. That is not something you can just.
Right.
That is not respecting your partner to bring a living thing to care for into your house with no warning and no discussion. That is not okay.
Okay. Plus, they have two babies.
Right.
It's like one baby and then one on the way. So. You don't know how this dog is going to be around babies.
No.
You know? So it's just, I don't know. I just feel like this is just.
No, it's just.
A recipe for disaster.
This is the kind of dog person that I it grates on my nerves a little bit. I like dogs fine, but I am by no stretch of the imagination a dog person. And just the idea of it, mm-hmm. a dog is always welcome in every situation. That really bothers me. It bothers me when like mm-hmm. this kind of situation. It bothers me when people bring their dogs to like work. And it's like, what? You can't just bring an animal into work. What are you doing?
God. Yeah.
That kind of just that.
Yeah.
That I would say, you know, entitlement of course, everybody wants there to be a dog here. It's like, no, they really don't want there to be a dog everywhere. And it's not just like some minor okay thing. Like I was whistling and that annoyed you a little bit. It's a kind of a big deal, especially people who have like
right.
fears of animals, small children. It's just not always ideal.
I mean, as someone who loves dogs, I would love if there was dogs everywhere, but I understand that other people don't feel that way. Kind of going back to the big expense, I actually really, really wanted a dog. And I know that I have class late, like 2 nights a week. And so I kind of actually was like, okay, well, I would have to board them like 2 times a week because I wouldn't make it back in time to pick them up from daycare, like at the close. And so, like, I, like, charted out, like, all the expenses associated with me having a dog, the dog that I don't actually have. And it ended up being, I think, $450 a month. And that was including, like, pet insurance and daycare and, like, dog walkers and stuff like that. So I feel like if you do it right. So I could be that person who's like, oh, it's fine. The dog could just be in my house all day by itself, you know, like. I could do something like that. I mean, I don't personally have a yard. I know they do. But if I was just like, oh, yeah, the dog could just like hang out in the yard all day. They're fine. Then, yeah, it can be cheap. But I just feel like that's so unfair to the dog. And if you're doing it right, it's going to be expensive.
Well, I mean, a lot of your expenses were things that wouldn't necessarily matter if somebody is at home all day. Like if somebody works from home or is at home, then they don't need to board it. They don't need a babysitter. Right. They don't need to walk. They don't need dog walkers. Like all those expenses are gone.
Right. Yeah. True. True. But Marcelino, he's worried because he's having financial problems.
Yeah.
He's losing a lot of money in poker and now he's getting nervous.
Right. Not only is he losing money in poker, he is not telling Brittany how much money he's losing. So
nope, he's not.
So he's doing that classic gambler thing where he's like, I just need to ride this out. It'll get better. And then I won't have to tell people I'm losing, which is not right. good. So because the metaphor he uses – I thought was weird because he tried and it didn't quite work, but it did, but not the way he intended it. Because he said like, he's like, I just got all these plates spinning. And as long as they're spinning, you know, as long as they keep spinning, you don't have to know about when it crashes. And I was like, but when the plates crash, they're not spinning anymore. They've crashed and broken and they're gone. Like you can't not know they crashed. It doesn't work like that.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, but he says he's lost a few $1,000, which is mortgage payments, plural.
Plural. So that sounds worried. About right.
Yeah.
So with that.
So, I was just gonna say that. Did you see the commercial clip? You know those weird commercial clips
Maybe.
Brittany talking about her homemade tattoo of her mom's name.
Oh, yes, I did see that. I did see that.
Oh, my gosh. Like, I did not know people did that. Well, like that specifically. I knew people gave themselves homemade tattoos, but how she was describing it, that requires so much patience. And that tattoo was big.
That was a big tattoo that for somebody's first prison tattoo was pretty good. For like,
oh, absolutely. The script on it was really good. But I was just, okay, so she has this huge script of Cynthia, who is her mom's name. And she said that she made it with a staple. So I'm assuming a tiny little staple. And she said a file. And she filed the staple down. So it was like this tiny little needle. Mm-hmm. And then she dipped the staple in some ink and then would poke herself and break the skin to like.
Homemade. Yeah. So so usually when you do that, at least my understanding, when I, you know, my vast understanding of prison tattoos, is you somehow adhere the staple to something else. Like you would put the staple on the end of the file so then you can like kind of bang it with the, you know what I'm saying? You can like use the file.
Oh, sure, sure. Yeah.
As instead of having to squeeze between your fingers the staple. But the way she made her fingers,
that makes more sense.
The way she held her fingers, like she did it like she was actually holding the staple and just dip, which is, that's quite a lot.
That's crazy. And she said that she made the ink out of pencil lead, toothpaste, water, and I forget what else. There was like one or two other ingredients, but I was like, what the hell? You can do that?
It's so crazy. I guess. Well, it's funny because
I would be so concerned about skin infections.
Yeah, I would too. It's not like she's sterilizing that needle before she put it in her arm.
Right.
I think somebody who's giving themselves prison tattoos are not particularly worried about that. But yeah, there's a whole like culture of like certain, you know, tattoo styles that basically they can trace like this style of tattoo looks like this because when you were in prison, this is how you had to do it. So it's like, it's kind of interesting, like the history of tattoos and stuff like that.
That's crazy. Okay, so getting back after commercial break, getting back to Marcelino.
Mm-hmm. So
stressed over money, so he hops in that minivan.
Yeah, and he says desperate times call for desperate measures.
Right.
And then we don't know what happens. That was a big tease.
He goes to a strange house and a lady answers the door and says, Marcelino. And just the way she said it, I know in the opening, like when they first started the season, they were trying to imply that Marcelino was like cheating on Brittany. I don't think that's what's happening. It definitely seemed more of a business transaction and not the kind of business transaction that involves a prostitute.
Uh-huh.
Because poor guy, he needs money. How is spending money on a prostitute going to help his situation?
Right.
I don't think it is.
I just need to clear my head.
I don't think that's what he's doing. But I don't know. My prediction is like a legal at home poker situation.
That would be my guess. Like they definitely made it sound like it was a cheating situation, which didn't make sense. I don't know if they wanted us to think he was prostituting himself out or like, but like, because he comes in and she's like as she's closing the door, she's like, does your wife know you're here? It's like, ugh.
Yeah.
But okay, so then you have to assume it's not cheating because if you were cheating on someone who knew you were married, they wouldn't be like, does your wife know you're here banging me? Like, that's not a question they would ask. They would assume that she does not. So yeah, my guess, if I was wagering a guess, is some sort of, you know, under the table, at home, private poker game that he's been involved in before.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Yeah. All right. Who do you want to talk about next?
All right. Let's go and talk about Lacey, Shane, and John. Or in this case, just Lacey and John.
Yes. So Lacey says she's tired of relationship drama. I was like, really?
Is she?
I don't know. She just seems like the kind of person that thrives on it.
Well, yeah, since like all she does this entire episode is make more. She just generates more relationship drama.
She likes to stir the pot.
But, definitely a person who is into relationship drama, whether she admits it or not.
Right. So now she's questioning her marriage with Shane. Mm-hmm. So it just makes sense that she goes to visit Sean. Okay, now I say that because Sometimes the way she pronounces John, it sounds like
Shane
and John put together, like Sean.
Sean.
And you're just like, do you know your guy's name? Or is it just safe to call all of them like a mismatch mix-up of their names?
The online theory I had seen is that you cannot pronounce a J if you have those duck lips. Like,
interesting.
John.
I've never tried. Yeah. So, yeah, she goes to visit John or Sean or whatever she's calling him.
Uh-huh.
And she does this while Shane is at work. And coincidentally, John is also at work.
So dude,
he's doing a home visit.
Whose house was this? And do they know what's going on in their house?
I know. That's what I'm saying. Like, they just seemed really unprofessional. And I don't know. We kind of talked about this with the Tanya and Sinjin thing. You know, like, Airbnb, like, you, I feel like there's some kind of thing in there where you have to, like, tell them you're filming, and that's because, like, porns have been filmed in random Airbnbs, and that's not cool. So it's like, I don't know. This person who John is apparently doing work at their house.
In their garage.
Like, do they know that, that they're filming and that they're making out in the living room and whatever?
Like, I would be disturbed if a dude who was in my house to fix my water heater, in my garage to fix my water heater. I would be upset if he came into my house to do anything besides turn the water on in my sink and see if it's hot. If he sat down on my couch, I'd be like, dude, what the hell? Why are you sitting on my couch? Let alone making out.
It was really bizarre.
Oh.
Yeah.
And he
when she first sees
him, totally would not have stopped at making out if they kept going.
Oh, absolutely. I feel like the only reason why they stopped making out was because there was a camera there.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and not even because they were embarrassed about the camera, but I feel like he could get into big trouble because what they're doing is caught on film. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, definitely some weird stuff going on there. So, Lacey's surprised to hear that he's in a recovery program. And John thinks Shane is immature. So he hopes that she's going to see what she's missing. So I feel like, at least what she says, that the only thing that really made Shane kind of win over John was that John had drug problems. And she didn't like John when he was on drugs. So the fact that he says that he's not on drugs now and he's in this recovery program, all of a sudden he's starting to look like better than Shane the cheater, because she even says that John never cheated on her, ever.
I mean, yeah. So every time, this whole time I was watching it, I just couldn't get out of my head John's sister from last week, who was like, she's going to play with you. She's going to string you along. She's going to leave you high and dry.
Oh, absolutely.
And that's absolutely what she's doing. She's stringing him right along.
Yes. Yeah. I do feel bad for the guy. He really does love her. And even his sister, you know, last week, it's like, but why? I don't think even he knows why.
No.
I think he is just something to be won over in a lot of ways. But yeah, so John says that, or Lacey tells John that she doesn't want to lose him and that she loves him. And so then John promises that he won't go back to jail. And I was like, can you make that promise? Because it seems like you're not very good at that.
Yeah. Didn't you try that before and didn't really work?
Right. So he says that the program was his only chance. And then they decide to make out in the random person's house.
And when they stop making out for a second, that's when Lacey has something to tell him. Because we already knew about
this.
Oh, gosh. But like...
Yes, well, we did.
I guess the part that messed me up was she was like, I guess I should tell you because you're going to find out eventually. Which is like, again, stringing him along, right? Because she's basically saying, I guess we'll have sex eventually. Eventually. Right. Not right now. You were probably definitely going to do it later. But anyway, she brings up that she got, you know, Shane's name tattooed onto her pelvis, which she indicates instead of saying pelvis by just pointing at her crotch.
Yep, pretty much. So at first, John just laughs. So I thought he thought it was funny, but then it's like, then he kind of realizes, wait a second. He's like, that's just dumb as hell.
Yeah, because I think he thought it was funny. Oh, I think he laughed because it was dumb as hell and then realized, it was like, wait a second. I'm going to want to look
but
at
this
that.
This is real.
That's not going to work for me. My face is going to be all up in there. That's bad.
Oh, gosh. Oh, gosh. Why'd you have to go there? Jeez. So I actually really kind of am Team John, especially here. He says he's mad about their whole situation because he thinks that Shane is a mooch. And he feels like, you know, Shane is taking advantage of Lacey by pretty much not working and just living off of him. And he's not trying to be the side dude. He just wants Shane to be gone.
I mean, if I had to pick one of these three people, it would be John. But they're all kind of bad.
Yeah.
Like, they're all really bad. And I don't know. I just he just needs to move on. She is not going to ever stop he playing does. With him.
Yeah. I mean, I agree.
My prediction already, she's not going to leave Shane.
I think she might. I think she might leave Shane because I think it is important to her that her partner have a job, you know? I think she wants to feel like, you know, those traditional roles and have, like, a man in the house. Mm-hmm. And I think just having Shane mooch, and granted, Shane has a job now, but one, who knows how long this job is going to last? What is it, watching for fires?
Yeah.
This is a weird job.
Yeah.
But, you know, arguably, John has a better job than Shane. John probably makes a lot more money than Shane, you know? So if Lacey's kind of thinking, and to be honest, I think John is way better looking than Shane.
Oh, he is, definitely.
Okay, yeah. So, yeah. So it's just kind of one of those things where I don't see in what area Shane is winning right now in Lacey's eyes, especially after the cheating thing. So already he's not doing himself any favor because she's questioning it and looking at John. And if you're going to compare like side by side, John is the better guy.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I feel like what she really wants is to have both of them around. And I feel like she has more likely to do that if she's married to Shane and keeps stringing John along.
Yeah. It would be interesting to see because that is true in the sense that she's strung John along this far and he's stuck around.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows if Shane would do the same? If she left, you know, Shane and got with John, would Shane really stick around thinking he had a chance? And so at least she knows that this permutation of everything works, but it doesn't necessarily mean a different combination would.
Right. That's what I'm saying. That's a good way to put it. Yes.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. I would be inclined to agree with you. Well, you know, John reassures her. He's like, we'll get that shit taken care of. So it's, I feel like John, once again, is kind of proving that he's ready to take care of her. And that means if, you know, because the way I interpreted that was John will pay to get it removed because he can.
Yeah, because he can afford it, which, whoo, boy, that would hurt. Oh, man. I can't imagine that.
Well, it depends on how big. Obviously, we haven't seen it, but
that's right.
It depends on how big.
I mean,
and how dark, too.
Yeah, I guess.
Have you seen it?
Colors.
Jeez.
No, we haven't seen it, but I'm just like.
Well, I don't know.
Knowing what I know about, knowing the little bit that I know about Shane is he wouldn't let her get like a teeny little thing. He's going to be like, I want it big. Oh, could we go bigger?
Well, I kind of feel like based on her whole cam girl profession, mm-hmm. I feel like it would be, I don't know, not so good if she got a gigantic name.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah. Well, a name in general is not, like, I can't, again, because, like, that's where the focus of everybody's attention is, and you don't want it to say somebody else's name there. That's off-putting.
Right.
Yeah. All right. So,
okay,
moving along. Do you have anybody you want to go to next? We have three groups left.
Yeah, let's do Megan, Michael, Sarah, since we usually lead them towards the end. So we barely say Megan.
We saw Megan.
We barely see Megan.
Writing a song?
Yeah, apparently. She's trying to be a singer, and she says that music is something that she's always shared with Michael. And I was like, what?
Always?
Michael sings / raps / does something musical?
I don't know. We've never seen anything out of him.
This is the first I've heard of it.
Right.
I had no idea.
So she hasn't heard
Sounds
from
like,
Mike.
Are you sure?
Yeah. She hasn't heard from Mike in 3 weeks. I'm sure it's something that she said she likes. And so Michael was like, yeah, that's right. I'm me too. Mm-hmm. Oh, that sounds great.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she has the same worry that everybody else did before. Dead or in jail. She was like, is he dead or is he in jail? I don't know.
However, she's wrong because she is delusional and didn't think the third one. No, he just is done with me. He just ghosted me.
Yep.
Right. It's pretty funny because much. Both of the other times when the people were like, oh, they're either dead or in jail, they were in jail. And this one, she's like, he's either dead or in jail. Yep. And it's like, nope, he just left you. That's it. He's fine.
Yeah, pretty much. So she calls Carolyn, which I am actually a little surprised that she had the guts to do that. So Carolyn is Michael's mom, and she's been featured in previous seasons. And Carolyn and Day-Day are kind of on the same page. Carolyn was definitely more cordial towards Megan than Day-Day has been. But at the end of the day, Carolyn empathizes with Sarah. And she's just trying to be a good grandma, and she knows that she needs to keep a good relationship with Sarah. She has previously advised Michael about being with Megan. And so I think Megan knows that, and that's the reason why she's not a huge fan of Carolyn.
Uh-huh.
But they've never had any kind of confrontation. Megan at least has the sense to be respectful towards her.
Sure, sure. But Carolyn doesn't care. It seems Carolyn seems pretty
she's
tapped
like,
out.
I have no idea.
She's just like, I am not trying to get up in any of y'all's business. Just leave me out of
it. Right. I'm not trying to keep up with him.
He is not here. Yeah. So that's where Megan is. Well, I mean, I feel like, wouldn't you guess? It's so sad about Michael that when she's like, oh, he up and left and I don't know where he went. The idea that he went back to see his children isn't even on her radar. Because that's where he is.
I know, right?
Right? Maybe he went
well,
to see
maybe
his kids,
she but... thinks, yeah. As much as she knows she's kind of like, you know, further down on the list, she knows she outranks Sarah.
Uh-huh.
So she's like, well, if he's not seeing me, he's definitely not seeing Sarah, at least in her mind.
Right.
But yeah, Carolyn, you know, she says this, but Megan doesn't think that Carolyn's being honest. And she thinks that Carolyn really does know where he is. But she's not getting anything out of her, so she just lets it go.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And that's all we see from Megan. Then she disappears again.
Yep.
I feel bad. She has a title. She has a title card and everything, and she's really not here anymore. I mean, she was here for the first half of the season, I guess. So then we move on. Then we, you know, jump to Rochester. Is it Rochester? Albany? Where are they?
Yes. I think Rochester, New York.
Oh, I know it's upstate somewhere.
Yep. So they go to therapy.
Yeah, therapy is not what they needed. So, like,
what do you think they needed?
You had mentioned it last time, and I'm on board. They need a mediator. They don't need a therapist. The therapist is there to heal, is there to, like, try to, you know, make it better, explore where these issues come from. A mediator is going to be like, no, shut up. We're dealing with this now. Shut up and come up with a solution. Yeah, a mediator is there to get, like, the short-term things done. They're not trying to repair their relationship.
Right. It all kind of makes sense to me because Sarah, we then find out she's been going to therapy since she was 15. So she's been going to therapy for a good 10 years. It started off because her mom died when she was 12.
Mm-hmm.
And so she started off in therapy. And like, to me, it makes sense because there are things that Sarah has done where I'm like, that just seems so mature of her. Like, remember back a few episodes ago where Aviana was struggling with not being able to get a hold of Michael, and then Sarah decides to have her do the activity where, here, I'll pretend to be Michael and you talk to me and tell me what you're feeling. Mm-hmm. It's like, I get it. This is something that's like very much a therapy thing. Yeah, definitely.
For real.
So, I mean, I was going to say that, and I feel like she thinks that there can be healing if they both go to therapy. I think what she's kind of failing to like realize, I guess, is that Michael just, he doesn't care. I mean, you have to be somewhat of a willing participant in this therapy,
absolutely.
Because no one's going to force you to do anything like a mediator. A mediator is going to kind of force you to make choices and is going to kind of force you to think about the situation and decide because we're trying to work towards like a compromise. But therapy is definitely more of a situation where it's like, let's talk about our feelings. And there's a lot more kind of intangible things to talk about that I feel like Michael is just not, him being stubborn and not a willing participant, you're not going to get very far.
Right. I mean, little thing. Okay. So before he shows up at therapy, I like how Michael says that his goal when he goes is to be calm, cool, and collective.
Oh, gosh.
I had the subtitles on too.
Okay. You calm, be cool, and collective.
But like, and then he, like, I'm already mad because he shows up to therapy a half hour late. Like, therapy appointments are only an hour long. Like, you've burned.
Right.
Like, there's usually, you know, a stack. You get your hour and that's it. Like, they kick you out the door after that hour.
Right.
But I thought it was also, I don't know, a mistake. It seems not ideal if you're trying to do this, you know, couples therapy thing, to be going to the therapist that Sarah has been seeing since she's 15. Like, that just doesn't
seem possible. Yeah.
Yeah. That just, that seems like somebody who, I don't know, professionally be like, yeah, I know too much about your side of the story to be able to do this relationship thing effectively. It's good. It's going to be unbalanced.
I did feel like she was being kind of fair. Like, I feel like just, well, and maybe we just didn't see enough because it pretty much blew up like 2 seconds into it. So who knows how it would have played out. Maybe she would have been more biased. But Michael, he says that he just wants to have a routine and relationship with the girls. And
the kids. He wants to see his kids.
I know, right? My kids.
Gotta see my kids.
So Michael says he feels disconnected as dad. So Dr. J then takes that opportunity to really try to dig deep and make Michael realize how this is very similar, that he is repeating a pattern. Mm-hmm. So I feel like those were the kinds of questions, those lines of reasoning is what she was like, her end goal was.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. And he seemed to be somewhat receptive to that, but then it went off the rails.
Yeah. At the beginning. Yes, definitely. So Sarah then talks about Aviana, and she says that Aviana has been going to therapy. And that Aviana is sad about her dad, and she wants to be silly and comfortable with him. And then that's when Michael's just like, no, I don't believe you. You know, you're the one who's saying that in front of her.
You're putting that into her head. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right, yeah. So, I guess I could see that. I mean, he clearly lacks self-awareness. So it's not totally surprising that he wouldn't be like, that he would say anything that anybody thinks, it must be you bad-mouthing them. It must, anything, any problems we have has to be Sarah's fault somehow. So if Aviana's like sad about me, you must be putting bad stuff into her head about me. So it does fit. But because he keeps saying he wants to take the kids. And like at some point he said he wanted to take the kids for a couple weeks. It's like, you can't let him. I'm on her. You can't let him take the kids for a couple weeks. No.
Absolutely not. I don't even think he's capable of taking care of these kids for like a couple days.
Right.
Like, he has never been around them for long periods of time, it doesn't seem like.
Mm-hmm.
And does he know how to take care of babies? Because, I mean, Rain is a baby.
Yeah.
You know, you've got a baby and you've got Aviana, but maybe he's thinking like Maria is kind of like the built-in nanny. So it's not just him.
Sure. Maybe that's why she's around, because, I mean, could you imagine him like grocery shopping?
No, I can't imagine doing anything adult-like. I don't know what it is. Yeah. I feel like, you know, grocery shopping, changing diapers, you know, tucking them into bed, making them brush your teeth, feeding them. I just can't picture him doing any of these things.
No, I feel like he would just like kick back and be on his phone while they were doing all kinds of stuff. Like, I wouldn't trust him for 2 weeks. And like, and if he's going to have them for a matter of weeks, this is the question I have. Where the hell is he going to have them? As far as I can tell, he's homeless. He does not have a permanent residence.
Yeah, that is true.
Like, he's...
Yeah, he just kind of seems to skip around.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. And I was going to say with what money, but apparently he's getting money coming in with all of his side chicks. What, Apple Pay?
Right.
Sending him stuff through Apple Pay.
Uh-huh. But anyway, because it's funny, because at that point he starts talking about, when they talk about a few weeks, he's like, you know, the only thing I can think of is I'm going to go to court. I'm going to go to court to get my kids. And then it got
Well, yeah, because Sarah just dropped the bomb.
Dropped the bomb on him.
She's like, well, good luck with that, because I filed for emergency temporary custody and the judge gave me full custody. So that's in place until our court hearing. And then that's when Michael just completely loses it. You cannot talk to him after that. He's just so angry.
Yeah, I think he just pretty much walks out. Yeah. He's like, you don't have full custody. She's like, I certainly do. And he's like, no, you don't. And they couldn't inform him because he does not have a place to live. So he didn't get anything in the mail.
Yeah.
Right, he didn't get any info, so he was never notified of this. But
I feel like
every time he said, I'm going to go to court, every time I thought about it, I was like, the court is going to give her full custody.
Right.
You'd be lucky to get visitation.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what he thought, how he thought that would go different. I don't know who was talking to him that makes him think it would go any different than that at all.
I absolutely agree, because it's like he pretty much hasn't been in Rain's life at all. Aviana, it's kind of hard to tell because, you know, you don't know if he was there. Like, maybe he wasn't in prison like her whole life. Maybe, you know, it was just when she was really young mm-hmm. he went away. But, I mean, he pretty much hasn't been there at all. He doesn't have like any kind of stability, which the courts care about when you're dealing with kids. Like you said, he doesn't have a home to even serve him anything, like serve him papers. But it's like, you know, courts care about, you know, especially with babies, like, do you have a car? Do you have a car seat? Do you have like a room for them to sleep in? Like, they care about all of that. And he has none of those things, or at least it's doesn't seem like he has any of those things.
Yeah. Like, they check and make sure you have like a crib and stuff. Yeah. Like, and especially because he up and left.
Right.
And when he got out of prison, he went, where did he go? Did he come to see his kid? Did he come to where his kids were? Nope. He went to Fort Worth.
Yeah.
So they're going to see that as almost an abandonment. And like, you can't come back after you do that and decide, well, now I want him back. And it's like,
right.
No, you made a decision already.
And then
man.
We've completely overlooked the fact that he's a convict. So it's like, you throw that on top right. of all the other basic things. You know, it's like, what does he think is going to happen? Like, he thinks he's the good guy in all of this. It's like, how are you that delusional?
Yeah.
Right. You know, that's so right. Crazy.
I mean, because all of his women have been reinforcing it. It's like, you know, nobody, a new girlfriend who thinks the ex is keeping the man from his kids. Oh man, she's that hell hath no fury.
I know. Like, I'm glad we didn't see much of Maria like this that. Week, because she just, she really infuriates me.
Yeah. Well, I mean, she's going to get put. I mean, you think it'd be good put into place, but like I said, she won't listen to what anybody says about it.
She absolutely won't.
Because I feel like she's going to come next time. That's she keeps like putting that. Maria keeps putting that in her back pocket. Well, don't make me go talk to her. Once I go talk to her, I'll set her straight.
Right.
Like, no, you're not setting her straight, Maria.
Well, I don't know. I feel like Maria could definitely start a fight, you know, like a physical fight with Sarah.
Oh, yeah. I'm not saying.
Yeah.
Oh, physically, yes. I believe Maria would be. Ah. Sarah's got her outweighed, I think. Sarah's got her on.
Yeah. I don't know.
On weight.
Who would win
but
in a fight between Maria and Sarah?
I need to see them standing next to each other because I don't know how tall they are compared to me. I don't know their reach and their relative sizes.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, Sarah definitely, she could flip a switch on the rage thing. You know, we've seen it. Mm-hmm. And I definitely think that gives you a bit of an edge sometimes. So, I don't know. It's too hard to call. Too close to call.
Too close to call.
All right. Who do you want to talk about next?
Let's go to Cheryl and
Josh. Okay, good. Because I was going to say, their stuff is like kind of boring. But it's like, this does not surprise me at all. And what I am kind of like annoyed with is how it surprises them.
Okay, Josh did not seem that surprised.
No, that's true. But Cheryl.
It surprised Cheryl.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. Well, because I feel like it's more from Josh's doing anyway. So why would he be surprised?
What is Cheryl's job?
Cheryl's job.
Does she have a job now? She moved to Colorado.
No, I don't think she has a job now.
That's
she used to have a job. She was like a...
Okay, so Cheryl doesn't have a job.
Yeah. She was like a drug rehab worker person. I don't know what we would call those.
Okay. And what is it? Well, okay, what I was getting to is they were supposed to meet to look at a house to live in. And I don't know, maybe it's just because they're in wherever, Colorado. Mm-hmm. That house was gorgeous.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And, like, she doesn't have a job, and he just got out of prison, and that house was gorgeous.
Yeah.
And I was like, how is this in your budget? What are you doing?
Yeah, maybe they are on the outskirts of Denver. But even still, like, my friends who live in the Denver area say that real estate prices have gone insane there, and especially after – you know, Colorado legalized pot. And not because necessarily because of that, but because it brought in a different crowd, a younger crowd and younger crowds and families. And so things have just really taken off. And so they said that the real estate prices have gotten out of control there. So yeah, I don't know with the jobs or lack of jobs that they have.
I don't know. But it just seems to be, it always reminded me of House Hunters.
Yeah.
Did you ever watch House Hunters?
No.
And there's always people who are like that. They show people three different houses, but it's always people who have these random, I'm an Instagram influencer and I
walk dogs.
Make carvings out of soap. Yeah. And they're like, our budget is $437,000. I'm like, what?
I should be a dog walker. Jeez.
Yeah. Our budget is $1.2 million. I'm like, what are you, what?
Yeah. Yeah. So they have one day to get out of their mom's house. And so this is why Cheryl is sensing the urgency of this whole thing. Mm-hmm. But okay, mm-hmm. So this is the reason why I'm not surprised that this happened, because already she is going in there. She is acting mopey. She has an attitude, and her demeanor is exactly like it was when they broke up the first time at the bunk castle situation. So you know how they were at the castle and she was really upset about it. And, when she's looking around the place, she's like, I don't see why, anyone would ever want to get married here. She's just mopey, has a bad attitude about things. And he was done.
Yeah. So, okay. He said that he's tired of these snap case mentalities.
Oh, gosh. Who knows what he says half the time?
What the hell is that?
I don't know.
I have no idea what that means. I couldn't decipher it. I looked on Urban Dictionary. I got nothing. What is a snapcase mentality?
Okay, I think maybe what I think he meant to say was a snap judgment mentality, meaning that Cheryl kind of went in there with kind of a poor attitude and just decided immediately something negative without giving it a chance. I mean, that's the best that I can come up with Josh.
Yeah, I don't. And so, yeah, she was just being mopey and he was just kind of like, I don't like you when you're acting like this. And she jumped to, you only liked me when you were in prison and I was giving money.
Well.
I was like, whatever. And Josh just seems over it. He's just like, sure. Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah. Are you going to leave now?
Well, so she thinks he turned into a real jerk and that she's concerned about potential police involvement.
Yeah. No, he's right. Because his point was, if you act psycho like this and you scream and you yell and you holler and you throw things, if the police come, they're arresting me.
Yeah.
They're not going to arrest you. They're going to take me away because I'm the not only the man, but also the ex-con.
Right.
Like, that's who's getting pulled away in the police car.
Yeah.
And he has a legitimate point.
Yeah, absolutely. And so Josh says that she needs to leave and he'll feel more comfortable when she's gone. And not even just gone from the area, gone out of Colorado. He's telling her to go back to Michigan.
Out of Colorado.
Just leave. Just go back to Michigan.
Yeah, right. And then then is my favorite line of the episode of all the couples. Because she goes, well, I hope you go to hell. And he says, I probably will.
Yeah, probably. So, yep. Cheryl drives off I'm so confused what's happening. Didn't she roll up in a minivan originally? What car is this?
That broke down, remember? Exactly.
What car is this? Where the hell is her kid? It's like, these are all,
She's just driving out of Colorado.
Fine, I'll go to Michigan. It's like, you have a kid. Where is he?
So she just drives away, just going who knows where, ranting and raving at nobody.
I have questions.
Yeah, I wrote down, what is she driving? Yeah, I forgot about the kid.
Yeah, it's like, that's kind of important. And it just seems like, based on like what's happened, that she would not leave the kid with Tina. Because, I mean, Tina's the one who tried to make the kid clean up in the first place, which is why this huge fight broke out. So I can't imagine that she would leave the kid with Tina. And it doesn't seem like she has other friends. So it's like, I don't understand what's happening
here. Not in Colorado, no. Yeah.
I don't know where this kid is. Hopefully he's still alive.
I don't know. But whatever. I don't know how Josh got there either, because he's stranded now because Cheryl drives off. Right. So he has to wait for Tina to come pick him up.
Yeah, so he has a conversation with Tina, his mom. And, you know, Tina says, I tried to be nice. And it's like, okay, I'm not saying that Cheryl's right in this situation. I'm not saying you're right. You both weren't very nice to each other. So were you? Were you trying to be nice?
Yeah. I think she was like, I don't know. I feel like she would have admitted that she was not the nicest as she tried. And she didn't always pass.
Try a little harder.
She was like, it was hard to be nice to her because she's a, I believe the phrase was bony bitch.
Oh, God. Yeah. But I mean, she has a point. Cheryl is like scary skinny.
She is very skinny.
Like, I just feel like she needs, I don't even know what you would do in that situation, because it's like, I don't know. When people are that skinny, sometimes it's like literally because of genetics, but she's older. And so I feel like that's less of the case when you're a little bit older, you know, like when you have like skinny kids, like that's more of a thing. And then plus, if you see her sister is not skinny like she is.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, definitely I wouldn't diagnose it, but I would be concerned that she has an eating disorder.
Yeah.
Like just based on how skinny she is.
Right. She is so skinny. She could use more calories. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's why she's cranky all the time. Maybe she's just like needs more food.
She's hungry. Yeah. She's hungry. She's hangry all the time. Yeah. Maybe that's it. Yeah.
So Josh, Josh, he's happy she's gone. You know, he did appreciate that she was there when no one else was, but now he feels free and he wants to concentrate on getting his license, a job.
Right.
All the things you're supposed to.
What license? A driver's license?
I think a driver's license, yeah. I think that's why his mom had to drive him around.
Because one thing that she did in the fight, that, to bring it back there, that did bother me, and I get Josh's perspective, is she was like, she like says things and she wants credit for them and she wants Josh to pay her back for things that he never asked her to do.
Right.
Like, you should do this for me because I came all the way to Colorado for you. And he's like, okay.
No one asked you to do that.
Like, it's not a – nobody asked you to do that. Yeah. You decided to do that on your own. Like, what? Why do I owe you for that?
Yeah. I mean, you're choosing to be part of the relationship. And so that's just, like, part of it, you know? And I think it's one of those things where it's a little unfair because – and it's going to be unfair because what can he do? If he's on parole, he can't leave the state. So I don't know. I don't want to make any predictions of what he would have done if he could have left the state, if he would have actually done his part to go see her. But I mean, like, you know, there's really not a whole lot he could have done. And that's just the nature of the situation. She knew that coming into it.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness. All right. Last up, we have Lamar and Andrea.
All right. So they're getting ready for a fight.
Yes.
Or at least Andrea's getting ready for a fight. Lamar has no idea what's
going on. No, he absolutely does not. So she calls her friend Stephanie to pick up the kids because she does not want to fight in front of the kids.
So they tease this for the entire hour.
Yeah.
Like the first thing they did was say, I found something in his pocket. And they did not show us what was in his pocket until the last 10 seconds of the episode.
And I have thoughts about that too. All right, so before that, leading up to this, she's being cold to Lamar in the kitchen, and he has no idea what's going on. He's, like, trying to be nice. They just came off of, like, a cute date night, and yeah, they fought, but, you know, he thinks he's making progress in some weird way. So,
yeah, we're getting there. Yeah.
And then, you know, the kids are asking, and Andrea's like, we are not good. So now they're having a super awkward breakfast.
Oh, the most awkward breakfast.
Awkward. Just especially when Andrea throws in that she's poisoned the eggs. I was like, what the hell? So pretty much everybody is eating these eggs. So now everybody's poisoned. I'm just like, what the hell is going on? Tennyson, he knows something's up.
Well, it's funny because Tennyson was like, is this about like last night? And Nyla was like, obviously, you dumbass.
Yeah.
Just shut up.
So, yeah, exactly. Here. She's just like, oh my gosh, we got to get out of here. But I feel like they kind of had that morbid curiosity. Like they definitely weren't rushing out the door. They were kind of like lingering. And Andrea was just like, get out, get out, get out.
Get out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So they finally Stephanie's here to pick up the kids. And so they know something's up. They absolutely are just like, okay, well, I guess we're going out with Stephanie. All right, see ya.
I guess you guys might be divorced when we get back.
Lamar is definitely like, don't leave me. Do not leave me, kids. Stay here.
He's like, I'm scared.
You should be scared. So, of course, and this always annoys me about Andrea. It's like, freaking just tell the guy. Like, I'm sorry, Lamar is not the quickest on his feet. Like, he doesn't get things right away. No. It's like, you playing all these weirdo mind games with him, just freaking tell him. You know, just don't, like, well, what have you been up to? What are you doing? Like, what is this? Go look in your pocket. It's like, all that stuff is stupid. Like, Lamar doesn't get it. He does not get it.
Right. He does not get what she's getting at. Which, could be just him playing dumb, but I don't think he's that dumb. Like, he knows if he knew what she was mad about, he would have copped to it. You know, like, because he was like, okay, this is not going to go. I'm going to play dumb and have her forget about it. Like, you know what I'm saying? So I really honestly think he did not know what the hell she was talking about.
So my question originally was, why the heck is she snooping in his pockets? Because like we said, they are teasing this whole thing where there's something crazy in the pocket says like evidence of some bad thing. So I was like, why the heck is she snooping in his pockets? And then she says that from the night before, the dinner did not go well. And so she was planning on buying him a ticket back to L.A. And she went looking through his pockets because she was looking for his debit card. And already I'm like, this lady, she is so manipulative and sneaky. Like, if you wanted to leave so badly, use your own card. Instead, she's like,
you buy him a
yeah,
ticket.
Instead, she's yeah. going behind his back, trying to get him to, using his card to buy a ticket back to L.A. when it's not even confirmed that he even wants to leave.
Which is, by the way, fraud.
Yeah.
Like, that's illegal to use my card to buy something that I didn't ask you to purchase. Right. That's called stealing my credit card.
Does this surprise you at all coming from Andrea though?
Right. But now I think about it, I didn't think about it this way, but like, yeah, she has a way of speaking that makes herself sound righteous for literally stealing his credit card.
Right. So, yeah, I'm super annoyed that she doesn't come out and say anything. Instead, she tries to give him a chance to come clean on his own, which is just like, it's a trap, you know? And I feel like there's no right.
Oh, it's always a trap.
There's no right answer.
Always a trap.
So she demands to know what he's been doing in California. And she's super vague when she asks the question. So he's like, what do you mean? What am I? I've been playing basketball with my friends. Like, what exactly? I've been hanging out with my family. Like, he has no idea. He's like, what do you mean? Like, what I've been doing in California. And she's like, well, you have a chance to be honest. And he's just like, what is happening right now? He's so confused.
What are you talking about? Yeah.
So she's like, well, go look in your pockets. It's like, my pockets? Mm-hmm. Well, you had this jacket, right? When you were in LA.
This is the point. Yeah. This is the point where I was like, if he knew what was in there, he'd have been like, oh, okay, let me try to explain.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
No, he has no idea.
Like, he has still, even when he reaches like, into the pocket, has no earthly idea what she's talking about.
No idea. And then finally we see what was in his pockets and it looked like a couple condoms. And then as soon, like he doesn't even have a chance to react. All of a sudden she comes flying at him, like going nuts and like trying to hit him.
You son of a bitch.
What are you doing? I was just like, what is going on? First of all, this is anything but a smoking gun. This is not a used condom in his pocket. Like,
these are wrapped condoms.
These are still intact. Like, I don't even know, like, what you're freaking out. There are so many possible explanations. He was walking by Planned Parenthood and they were handing out condoms and he just shoved it in his jacket pocket. You know, there's like so many things that, like,
he was out with his friend who was trying to get, like, it was like, hey, hold these for me, buddy. Like, I'm trying to get laid. I'm wearing my tight jeans. These don't fit. Or even like not as an explanations. He, you know, was planning on sleeping with his wife that he hasn't slept with in forever and isn't sure what kind of birth control she's on. Yeah. So he's going to bring condoms just in case they need them. Like,
yeah, she like flipped out for no reason. And it was just like, oh my God. Lamar was just like, what is going on? He's like, all right. He's like, I didn't even have a chance to see what I pulled out of my pocket because Andrea's coming at me now. Oh my gosh. Crazy lady.
Yeah, just. She goes crazy. And that's, again, like you said, she tries to paint herself as this calm, rational, righteous person who's trying to do what's right. And then she just flips out on him. Like,
yeah,
all over. And like, because I really do not think he knew that there were condoms in that pocket.
Yeah, he looked so confused. The whole thing, he looked very, very confused. So I don't know. I feel like maybe it's like, oh, yeah, these things, you know? But, okay, and then that's the other thing is, you know, how long do you think that he's had this jacket, you know? Like, is he really wearing this jacket all the time in L.A.? Probably not because it's not freaking snowing in L.A.
Oh, that's true. That's true. I didn't think about that either. It is like a winter coat, and he does live in L.A., so he could have not put that coat on in, like, years. Right.
Or maybe he borrowed it from his brother, you know, like, or someone has like the shared communal like snow jacket because no one goes to snow that often. You know, it's just.
That's true.
I feel like there's so many things. Yeah. She doesn't even give him a chance. She just like comes flying at him. Crazy lady.
Right. And she could have had the chance and she could have because she could have started that conversation after the kids left was, Lamar, yesterday I found some condoms in your pocket. Yeah. Do you have an explanation for that?
Right.
Like.
And I feel like she could just assume the worst, but it's like, you don't need to like play this whole charade if you're not going to let him explain himself anyway. Just why don't we skip all of that and just go to attacking him?
And just punch him in the face.
Go to physically attacking him.
As soon as the kids left, she just physically attacked him.
You should have just skipped all that. But I don't know. Maybe they needed the drama for the cameras. Who knows?
Who knows? Who knows? Yeah.
Crazy though.
So we'll see where that goes.
Okay.
It doesn't look good for them.
No.
Staying together. Because at this point, if I'm Lamar, I'm like, yeah, I'm done. But no matter what I did beforehand, if you're going to physically assault me, like, and like as soon as I like don't even know what I'm being physically assaulted for, yeah, we're done. Mm-hmm. I'm not staying for that.
Yeah.
I'm not staying for that.
All right. So this week was hard. As student of the week.
Very hard. So hard. I picked Josh.
Oh my gosh,
because
so did
breaking up with Cheryl was the right thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
I actually picked Josh too.
It was the right choice. Like he did one thing.
Yeah. And yeah, I
it was the right thing.
I think the whole thing that you brought up, your favorite quote, that kind of sealed it for me too. Because it's like, yeah, you know, he's not trying to argue with her. He's not trying to engage. He's just like, yeah, sure, be right. I don't care. Like, it's just over. Like, you know, there's no point in fighting over it. And he's just willing to let it go. And I feel like that's, you know, especially if you're dealing with someone like Cheryl who kind of, and I mean, to some extent, everyone on this show, they thrive on drama. So if you don't give it to them, like, that's how you're going to shut it down. So good for him.
Right.
Agreed.
Mm-hmm. All right. Dunce.
Maybe we have the same for
an
Dunce,
an embarrassment
too.
Of riches trying to pick the Dunce now.
Well, I was going to say, I'm giving it to Andrea. I mean, I feel like Andrea is my dunce quite often, but specifically she for is. Like playing these roundabout games, you know, making the breakfast awkward, like pretty much implying that she's gonna poison everyone, snooping in Lamar's jacket for, you know, a credit card, then not giving him an opportunity to, you know, explain himself before she physically assaults him. I mean, that's like seven things right there, you know? So yes, absolutely. Andrea, dunce.
All right, my dunce is actually Lacey.
Oh, okay.
Because I don't like the way she's playing these two guys.
Oh, that's true.
Just she's manipulating both of them so she can get, like, the most out of what she wants. Like, she hasn't made a decision. She's not really making a decision. She just wants to literally have her cake and eat it too.
Yeah.
So I don't like it. I don't like the way – I don't like the game she's playing. So Lacey was my number – was my dunce.
Yeah. Okay. So that kind of leads into my life lesson. My life lesson is if you have a job at someone's personal home, you probably shouldn't invite someone over for, you know, I don't know, like making out, etc. I mean, this is how you lose a job, right? And especially for some situation where it can be documented. So whether it be Instagram, like you're taking pictures of you and your friends hanging out at someone's house on Instagram, mm-hmm. or, you know, being on a reality show, just seems like just avoid that situation. If you appreciate and want to keep your job, don't invite people over.
If you want to keep your job.
Don't invite people over.
Right. Well, because the people don't – they're not trying to keep a job. They don't care. They'll trash the place. Like it's all of that too. All right. So my life lesson goes back to your dunce, and it goes back to something – I don't know. It's still Andrea.
Yeah.
But mine is – okay. So I understand the impulse to not fight in front of the children.
Right.
Totally fine. If it's going to be this kind of, you know, things about cheating and condoms and you know, sex and stuff. It is important, I think, to have some sort of disagreements in front of children mm-hmm. so they can see how you, like, you know, navigate through that. As like a, you know, model. But yeah, for this kind of conversation, I totally agree that it's the kids shouldn't be there.
Mm-hmm.
But when you make it clear to the kids that, like, we're going to have a giant fight about our relationship as soon as you walk out the door, like, you've kind of negated most
right.
of the benefits you get from not fighting in front of the kids.
Yeah,
like,
because they know something.
Could you imagine
going
that
on.
Awkward bowling trip they went on? It's like you're bowling being like, I think my parents are getting divorced right now.
Yeah, right.
So this is fun. I have no idea what's going on.
Oh, goodness. So,
so
true.
Especially, and this is especially true when you have a camera crew there recording the fight that you don't want the kids to see. They're going to see it.
Oh, goodness. These poor children. Oh.
I know.
Yeah. No, maybe my life lesson. Here's another life lesson. Speaking of children, know where your children are when you're in another state, Cheryl. Did she know where her kid was? Don't abandon your children.
Maybe she had just left him strapped in the back seat the whole time they were having the fight. The window cracked like he was a dog.
I don't know. Know where your children are. All right. So, yeah, that pretty much wraps up this week. So, as far as I know, there's a new episode next week. So, we'll see you back here, a week from now.
All right. Sounds good.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.